You're listening to Misunderstanding Dementia Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Misunderstanding Dementia Course, and you can put in 50 to get a 50% discount on the course. Thank you.
All right. Well, hello everyone. This is Dr. Mike, a physical therapist and certified dementia practitioner, and thank you for listening to our podcast. This is a video course, not really course, but actually our first introductory interview for our group, Alternative Careers Group. And today we have a very special guest. Her name is Marcy Travis. Did I pronounce that right, Mr. Marcy?
Yes, you did. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to chat with you today, and I hope to be of some value to your group. And I've got a few, we'll get started with the slides in a minute, but I've got a few freebies to give away at the end too. So hopefully people can keep in touch and get hopefully some good information out of this. So
awesome.
Feel free when we're going through the slides. If you have questions, you just stop me because I go like a train, so I go fast.
That's good. All our therapists in this group are really fast learner, yeah. And they're really excited. You know, some people actually personally messaged me about it, and we're just excited to learn from you today. So, tell us about yourself.
Yay! All right. Well, I'm gonna minimize while I tell you about myself. So today we're gonna talk about transitioning to a job you love, and a lot of people don't know how to do that. You get stuck and you just can't see a way out. So we're going to talk about some of that today. But I wanted to thank you, Mike, for having me today and just for the opportunity to serve, because I really do love helping people. Here's a little shot of my website, Marcy Travis, Discover Your Best Work Options. So if you ever want to go to my site, I'll give you the link at the end, but it's just marcytravis.com. And I'll tell you a little bit about me. Yeah, So I have worked in employment services for over 20 years, and I recently retired. But about 5 years prior to that, I decided to become a certified career coach. And the reason I did that is because I just love what I was doing at work, but I wanted to do it at home. So for probably about 5 years, I became certified in the same program that Mike's in. Dan Miller's coaching mastery program. And then I started just working on the side, like nights and weekends and, you know, probably really pushing it, but, I'm glad I did. I've put some real good time into it, and I really enjoy doing it. I love, what I do is career coaching, and I do career coaching just like we're talking now, right on Zoom. So we do one-on-one career coaching. I also have a membership site that I developed because some people don't really want to commit to career coaching, you know, one-on-one career coaching, but they wanted to do the learning. So I digitized all my learning about how to figure out what you want to do with your life, and also everything in job search, from, you know, figuring out what you want to do to how to do your resume to interviewing. So it's kind of a step-by-step program that people can come in for a membership fee, a monthly membership fee, and stay as long as they want. And so if you get on my newsletter list, you'll get some information about that. But so that's pretty much what I'm doing this year. That was my new thing to add on to the one-on-one coaching. So.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you for that information. You mentioned about Dan Miller's coaching program. Yeah. A lot of people, you know, in this group, Alternative Careers Group, they also want to be a coach. Basically, majority of the people here, not majority, a lot of people in this group is actually therapists. And we are, in the sense, we are also coaches. And I've been seeing a lot of posts in this group about how to be a personal trainer, how to be this and that. Mm-hmm. If you guys are interested, check out Dan Miller's coaching, 48 days coaching. And that's where we get our certification as a coach, you know, as a life coach, as a career coach. And he will also guide you how to, you know, choose your career path. So, Marcy and I, that's where we met, and, check out that group too. And of course, also Marcy's certified career coach group too. So thank you, Marcy. Okay. Sorry for butting in. So,
all right. Well, I'm going to just go right through these slides. And like I said, I'm going to zoom. So today is it. So what you're going to get out of the session is why now is the absolute time to reinvent your career, why you should do it. You'll also learn how to reinvent your career. And you're going to be able to sign up, I already said that, for a free 3-part series on how to find a job you love. I also put in a downloadable worksheet for resumes, too. So you're going to have a couple different things. Resume tips for career changers. Because once you figure out what you want to change to, you really need to emphasize that in your resume. And there's a way to do that and be really effective. So we're going to cover all that today. That's a lot, but we're gonna zoom through it. So why now is the time to reinvent your career? Well, the reason why you should change is the unemployment rate is the lowest it's been in 18 years. Now, I worked in employment services for the Department of Labor in New York State. And so that means something to me. It probably doesn't to most people, but when the unemployment rate is so low, what it means is employers cannot find enough people. So this is a great time if you want to try something out, if you want to try something new, you're going to be able to get in with very little. You could even totally change what you're doing and get in with very minimal experience, just as long as you show them you have the skills to do it. So if you want to, it used to be sometimes, I remember way back when, that you just got a job. Like if you could get a job, you got a job because you had to, right? But now you can, it's like kid in a candy store. It's like, sometimes when I'm looking for other people, I'm just, you know, I'm just excited. I don't think I was showing myself before. Sorry. I just clicked something different. So sorry, Mike, if that messed up. Hi, everybody, if you're just seeing me now. But before it used to be that, you know, you had to just pick something and stick with it. And it's not that way anymore. You've got a lot of opportunities for change. Fortune magazine in their February 2018 magazine said the job market's hotter than ever. For those in search of a new adventure, now is the time to take the leap. And I can totally say that's true. I just retired last October, but we had probably for the last year to year and a half, we had employers calling us. They could not find people. And it didn't matter whether you were an engineer. It didn't matter what you did. If they were looking for cashiers or engineers or PhDs, they can't find enough people. So this is a great time to take the leap. A lot of people are kind of afraid maybe to make a change, but I think this is a great time to just try it out, if that's something you want to do. Because here's the thing, you can always go back. That's the thing, you can change and go back if you want. So I always tell my coaching clients, a lot of times we think of things in absolutes. So we're thinking like, what are we going to do for the next, you know, 10 years? And sometimes we just pivot from that. And it's okay, you can try something for a year or two and then make a pivot if it doesn't fit. So, the other reason why you should change is you've got a lot of years to work. So, and I know a lot of you, I was just figuring 30 years. So, you know, depending on your age, most of us are going to be working 30 more years. So if you take 2 weeks vacation, that means 50 weeks out of the year you're working. And probably most of you are working more than 40 hours a week, but I put in 40 hours a week. That's 62,400 hours. That's a ton of hours. That's a good reason to change. You don't want to be unhappy with what you're doing. You spend so much time at work. You want to be happy with your work environment. You want to be happy with the skills you're using. And hopefully today we can get you started on that.
What? That's so true. We got lots of, you know, in this group, we've got lots of people. I mean, there's the reason why they are joining this group, because they want to find their alternative careers. It's not because the job market is bad. It's just because that they're just burned out with their current scenario. So, you know, if you are listening right now, if you're part of this alternative careers group, go ahead and you know, listen and watch and follow Marcy and see what's in store for you. You know, we have this DISC assessment profile that we use, and we just offered it here in our group. And, you know, you'll find your strength and your weaknesses, and you want to work on your strength and focus on that. And that way you can continue to grow as not only as a therapist, but as a person in your career. So thank you for pointing that out, Marcy.
Absolutely. So how do you get started reinventing your career? I mean, I remember feeling lost. Those days of feeling lost. Like, how do you know what you really want to do? You know? And so I'm just going to give you a few tips here. So tip number one is think about what you value. The first step in finding a career you love is to define what you want in terms of lifestyle. Now, most people, myself included, what I did and what I see a lot of people do is they go on a job search site and they look at job descriptions and they're looking through thousands of jobs and they're like, not me, right? Mm-hmm. And it kind of seems like I always say to my coaching clients, we're going to start out on Mars and come into Earth. So you almost have to back up and start to think about what kind of lifestyle do I want to live? So I'll give you an example from my life. For quite a long time, I commuted an hour to an hour and a half one way. And I can tell you after doing that for a little bit, and the older you get, it just gets old. And you guys, I'm sure, are on the road a lot. So, you know, that either fits you or doesn't fit you. And I knew when I started transitioning to my next thing, which was career coaching and being certified, I knew that I don't want to be traveling. And I happen to live in a rural part of New York State. So this is what fit me. I found something that fit me. So it's really, really important to define what you want in terms of lifestyle. Now, it might be that you want, some people want summers off, or some people want a certain salary, or they want certain benefits, or it's really, really important to make a list of that.
Well, this is what I value. I don't know if you guys see it.
No paperwork. Oh, I love it. Yeah, because you have to do a lot of paperwork, right?
That's the most, that's the one thing that we as a therapist or people in the healthcare field that we're so stressed out about it, about the paperwork. So
yes,
if you're listening right now and watching to the show, Marcy's been telling you, what do you value? What do you value? And you think about what you value. I'm valuing paperwork. I don't know, no paperwork. And that's the reason why I'm trying to go cash based. And that way I don't have to worry about doing paperwork and I can focus more on patient care.
Right.
And thank you for that tip, Marcy.
Yeah, really, you're welcome. You're welcome. I mean, it seems so simple, but it's so easy to get confused when you start trying, because like, where do you start? So I always like to start with the person. Like, what are your goals? What do you want? And then I always say this, your career choice is either going to support and enhance your life or detract from it, right? So all those years that I worked all those hours and commuted and stuff, that detracted from certain, I mean, when I started following Dan Miller, for instance, he talks a lot about investing in yourself. And I just was like, I don't know, light bulb came on. Like, I personally investing in your own self is really important. But when you work in so many hours, it's tough to do. So I had to like work myself toward that, you know, that personal development, working that back into my life, because you get so busy. You've got kids, you've got family, you've got your work, you know. So your career choice really is important, because it's either going to support and enhance your life or detract from it.
That's right. Very true.
Tip number two is try to define those skills you love to use. So when I think about skills I love to use, I think about what kinds of things do I lose time doing? Okay. So a couple things for me, I don't know, I'll let you talk too, Mike, but a couple things for me, like when I'm talking one-on-one, like Mike and I are doing now, I lose time. I lose track of time. Like I push myself to keep going, but I mean to push forward so I'm not boring, but I mean I could just sit and talk. Like a lot of times my coaching calls will go, they say how long? I go, well, it depends on how long it takes. It might take us an hour and a half, it might take us an hour, but I lose track of time. It goes like 5 minutes for me. So an hour and a half could be like 5 minutes. it feels like to me. The other thing is when I'm working on the computer, I love developing my train programs, and I could just, like, I'll be telling my husband, I'm going to be off in 5 minutes, right? 5 minutes, I'm going to be off. 2 hours later, he's like, I'm going to bed. See ya. You know, and that's just so things that you love to use. That's what you need to think about, skills you love to use.
That's so true. That's so true.
There, Mike?
Yeah. You know, I love this tip because, a lot of therapists, and especially here in this group, alternative careers group, we're like, oh, I want to be like this, and I want to be like him, and I want to be like her, and I want to do this too. You have to find the skills that you really love. In that way, you don't have to, you don't have to work in another day of your life. You know, in my case, I love taking care of older patients, and I had to find that specific niche for me. So now I'm focusing more on dementia. And, you know, I took courses for dementia, you know, became a certified dementia practitioner. Now I'm talking to, you know, different nursing home and assisted living. And that's my specific skill. And that's what I love to do. If you take me, you know, there are a lot of therapists out there who are pediatric therapists or orthopedic therapists. Mm-hmm. I don't really like it. You know, I worked in an outpatient physical therapy, and majority of the cases were orthopedic cases, and I didn't know what to do with, you know, patient who had neck pain, patient who had shoulder pain, and they had knee replacement. I didn't know what to do. I know I'm a good therapist, but I'm like, what am I doing here? And so I had to go back and step back and look what I really love. And now I'm enjoying my influence in the dementia world. And if you are listening in this group, alternative careers group, find what you love. You know, find your specific niche. If you're a physical therapist, you wanna your focus is on running, go and focus on that running group. You know, if you love pediatrics and you want you like treating cerebral palsy patient or autistic patients, go and focus that. In that way, you niche down. You want to niche down, and that way you can scale up. So I really love this tip, Marcy. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, and you know, I did want to say that it is a process. So some people, and my mother was one, when she just knew she wanted to be a teacher. And back when she was, you know, back when she was younger, girls, not all the girls went to college. And she said, oh, I want to go to college. Her parents said, you shouldn't go to college, get married. And she's like, no, I want to go to college. So she went to college, and the two choices that most women picked were either nurse or teacher, right? So I said to her, because she chose teaching, and she was absolutely wonderful at it. It was a great career for her. And I asked her, how did you choose that? And she said, I wanted summers off. I didn't want to be working all hours. She's like, nurses have to work all hours. The family has to revolve around that. And so, you know, it worked for her really well, you know? And so, but my point is, some people are like that. She just knew. Most people don't. And it's a process figuring it out. Like, even if you're doing like one-on-one coaching with Mike or I, it's going to be a process. Sometimes I find that people come to me, they'll tell me like where they're stuck. And then it's almost like they think I have the answer, and I might have some ideas. And a lot of times we brainstorm, but what usually happens is the more we talk about it and the more we review, and you'll go through some, if you download the workbooks, I'm going to give you the link to, you'll have some of those steps in there that you can do on your own. But the more, just give yourself time, because it's a process. And the more you define like what you want to do and what kind of lifestyle you want to live, the more clear you're going to really get. And all of a sudden, it's like when you decide you're going to buy a red car, that's all you see on the road are red cars. So it's going to be like that. Like it's a process that you go through. So that's why I say we start on Mars and we come down to Earth. So you start out kind of dreaming and just thinking in general terms about what you want and what you like to do. And then you start to narrow it down, like Mike said. So, yeah.
That's right. I love what you said about if you think about a red car, you're planning on buying a red car, you'll see a lot of red cars around. And that's actually proven, you know. There's a part in your brain. I mean, I know all the therapists knows this. There's the part in your brain called reticular activating system. And the more things that you focus on, the more it will get magnified. If your focus is to find your ideal job and finding your ideal career and get that, and that dream job, guess what? You're going to find it. But if your focus is, if you're trying to hit on nothing, guess what? You're going to hit on nothing. So,
right.
You know, I love this. I love this tip. I love what we're talking about right now, Marcy. So thank you.
And just one more thing about the skills. If you're great at doing something, but you hate doing it, just be honest about it. Be honest with yourself about it. Like, yeah, you can really be great at doing something and hate doing it. And don't do it. Just don't do it. Be honest and don't do it. Try to go with what you love. Try to go with, and there's ways to get at this. Sometimes like we get so busy and stuff and we don't think about things and it's hard, you know, it's like, okay, what are my skills? I can't even think of any skills. Like it's probably not that way with you guys, but maybe you can only think of the skills you use for physical therapy, but you don't want to do physical therapy anymore. So you really want to think about only the skills that you enjoy using. And I blog, and so I got bored with my own blog, right? Writing. So I said to myself, okay, I've got to do something different. So I wrote this series and I called the Chicken Poop Chronicles. And basically what it was is I was talking to my husband one day and he's like, you know, the worst job I ever had when I was in high school, I cleaned out chicken coops. And he said, that is the worst smelly job. I would never do it again. I would do anything else. And I started thinking about that. And I was like, this is going to be a great article. So if you think about your chicken poop experiences, the things that you never, ever want to do again, a lot of times you'll see the opposite of what you do like. So that's just another little tip that I didn't put on here. But I'll explain what I mean by that. One of my chicken poop experiences was I, right out of high school, I think got a job at McDonald's, okay? Now, McDonald's, they want you, what the employer wants is they want you to be fast, okay? That's what they're fast, in and out, right? So I'm at the counter, and because of my own personality, I care about people. I'm about people. I'm about customer service. I'm about, you know, showing you care, right? And so I get these old guys coming up for their coffee and their free refills, and they'd hang out and, you know, in the store, and they'd get up to the front register and I would say, well, how are you today? And they would tell me. And so they hated that. The manager like stood over me with a stopwatch because he's like, you're taking too long. Like they did not value that. And that's really important to think about. Like that's just not the right job for me, but you know, I didn't realize it at the time. I was young, but that's something I'll never do again. I'll never be in that type of job where you got to grind people through because that's just not me. So that's what I mean. Like, be honest with yourself about what you like and what you don't like because you're going to get a little bit further. And stay away from those chicken poop experiences.
That is so true. And this is the perfect thing. I actually wrote it down. Oh. If you are great at doing something but hate doing, be honest about it. And I would just cross the be honest about it. If you don't hate, if you just hate it, just go ahead and quit.
Yeah.
That's the main problem right now with some of the alternative career group people here. They're there posting stuff. Hey, I hate this. I hate this. I don't like my job. If you don't really like it, go ahead and quit and find another one that you really love and enjoy it, you know?
Yes.
So
yes.
Thank you for that.
And as you talked about, you're welcome.
You don't want to work on that chicken poop forever.
You what?
I said, you don't want to work on that chicken poop forever.
That's right. That's right. And the thing is too, you can take baby steps. Like it doesn't have to be like a stay or quit. It can be like start to figure out what the next step is and start to take baby steps. Spend an hour a day. It doesn't have to be like extreme. That can be. It depends on what kind of person you are. Like if I just quit, I would be like, you know, so, you know, it just depends on your personality, what works for you. But some people, that's what they need is they need to quit and their back's against the wall and boom. But I'm more of a plotter. So it just depends on what works for you. But
there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
So at the end, I'm going to, I'm showing it to you now, but I'll show it to you again at the end.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you can go to marcytravis.com/career. Dash Transition, and you can download it. You'll get like one a day for 3 days, and it'll give you steps to help you find a career you love and kind of think outside of the box, like kind of new thinking, life, you know, what kind of lifestyle do I want to live, that type of thing. So it'll be like a little workbook. It takes about 15 minutes a day to get through it. Maybe a little bit more. It depends on how quick you work. Probably 15 minutes for you guys. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the therapists are going to enjoy that. So.
Yeah. Oh, good. I hope so. All right. So Mike asked me to talk a little to you about resume tips, because once you have decided you want to change your career, and if you're a physical therapist and you want to do something else, how do you make that add up on a resume? And that's one of the things that I have a lot of people come to me with, a lot of people. And I'm going to show you a couple of tips, and then I'll give you another download. You can get on that newsletter if you want. You won't get double newsletters from me, but you can get both of those. When you start out, you'll get a couple, two or three emails, and then you'll just get once a week. Okay. I don't want you to think I'm going to overload you, but depending on what you want, like if you want some resume tips, the first tip I'm going to give you is to streamline your resume to the position you're applying for. So I like to use, you guys can apply this, I'm pretty sure. So I like to, this is a simple example. So I'm working as a cashier, and I don't like the hours because I'm a single mom, right? And my schedule changes every week, and it's not working for me. So one of the things I want to do is change to be a teller at a bank, because they have regular hours, and maybe the pay is not that much better, but I probably have some benefits. I probably have a stable schedule, stable job, and a place for career advancement, right? So interestingly enough, if I've been a cashier and I want to be a teller, most teller positions want 3 to 6 months experience of cashiering, and that's basically what they want. But if I put down cashier, 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 it's not going to pop out to them, oh, she's a teller. They're going to think, oh, no, she's a cashier. So in that example, I would concentrate on my customer service skills, my cashiering skills, but I would do it in a way that made me look professional, like a teller. So I'm going to show you another, I'm going to show you a little bit, an example. So Okay, so you're going to streamline your resume to the position you're applying for. So we were using the cashier teller example. You're going to identify all the skills that qualify you for the new position. So I talked about the cashier, the teller requirement of 6 months cashiering, customer service, all those things. You're going to look at the new job, and you're going to look at the old job and see where they meet. And that's what you're going to show on your resume. Mm-hmm. And here's an example. Now, I did administrative assistant on this one, but so here's an example of a targeted resume. Now, you can make this two-pager. This is a one-pager that I do. But we've got administrative assistant. But down here in the summary of relevant skills, we've got administrative and medical receptionist. So they could be either one. This is one I changed the name and the details on it, but I did this for somebody that I worked with. So she wanted to be open to both positions. But right at the top, administrative assistant, delivering a high degree of professionalism, organization, and accuracy to your team. So it's really important. She had an okay resume when she came to me, but what it didn't do is it didn't pop out at the top with all her qualifications. So she wasn't really getting noticed. And she wanted me to redo her resume, and I did. And she took it to a job fair and gave it to this HR professional that she'd been talking to. And he took one look at the resume, mm-hmm. and he's like, now this is a resume I can use. And the reason he said that is not because I did it, but because he could see very clearly where her skills were and where he could fit her in the company. So that's your success tip number one. Does that make sense, Mike?
Oh, wow. And actually, you know, when I was working at the hospital, mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yes.
When I used to be the director of the hospital, And I interviewed a lot of assistants, administrative assistants, and personal trainers. It was like every month I had to interview because everybody was quitting, not because of me, right? But they're just college students, you know, just quitting and moving. And that specific resume that you're showing right now is really good because it's showing me, you know, the specifics of that person. So that's really good.
Yeah.
I had one lady, I forgot her name, that sent me a resume. She sent me her resume and wanted me to check on it. And I'm not a resume expert. I just said it's okay, but I guess I have to throw her to you and, you know, and maybe check her out and offer your services to her too. Oh, speaking of that, I think she got the job already.
Oh, okay.
I think she got the job, but you know, but this is a really good thing, you know, for the team, for this group, because we got lots of therapists wanting to, you know, move to a different position. So thank you for this success tip number one for resume.
Oh, good. Yeah, and if this is something that you like and you want to do, I think we started out talking about that I have a digital training on it. So if you get on my newsletter, you'll get a link to that digital training if you want to come in and redo. I have a whole section on making over your resume. And it gives you downloadables. It gives you, I walk you through it step by step, like me on video telling you what to do. So, and I give you examples. Okay. So just, you know, if that's something you're interested in, you really want to feel confident with your resume feeling confident is huge, you know, when you're going out to look for something else. So tip number two is simplifying your header. So a lot of people have like cell phone, home phone, they have address. This is what I recommend: your cell, your Gmail, and your LinkedIn. Because it really, it declutters it a little bit. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, Mike? You used to look at
I don't have to put in my address or other information, just the phone, email, and the LinkedIn page.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary anymore. I mean, there's so much online.
How about a website?
Oh yeah, put your website up there. Definitely, you could.
There you go. So for those people who are listening right now, a personalized website. I mean, you can go to Weebly, Strikingly. You know, I did one for the lady. I made her a free website. You know. And it's so easy to make an online website right now, an online portfolio, because it really looks professional. If you put down Jane Doe at gmail.com, that's good. But if you put down Jane Doe at janedoe.com or marcytravis.com, sounds professional, and you're going to get that job immediately. You know, we're all therapists here. And, you know, who would you rather hire? A physical therapist or an occupational therapist that has her own personalized website, right, or a person who just has an email from Gmail or Yahoo or AOL, or whatever. So, you know, thank you for pointing that out, Marcy. I really appreciate that. So if you need somebody to do your website, let me know. I can help you make a quick website, a quick online portfolio. I'll help you out and I'll walk you through it. And of course, you got to pay your own domain. I mean, I'm going to help you out already. We already helped out one lady, and I think I'm not sure if she found a job yet, but she's an occupational therapist, and we made her a website through this group. So
that's pretty well.
Thank
that's
you for
pretty
the
awesome.
Tip, Marcy.
That's generous.
Yeah, we give value. You know. We're giving out a lot of free stuff, but the more we help other people, the more we become successful. So, and that's what you're doing. So,
absolutely, I'm trying.
You're doing a good job right now.
Tip number three is add a title, and I kind of covered that already, but it really makes it pop. And it's good too if you're applying online. I mean, I don't advocate just applying online, but if the employer wants you to apply online, the ATS system the tracking system is going to pick up on keywords. So you want the keywords from the job ad in there. And so one way to do it right at the top, it's visually, it works visually and it works on the ATS systems, is getting it right up there at the top.
What's that? You mentioned ATS system. What is that?
Yeah, it's a tracking system. So when you upload your resume electronically to a database to apply for a job, a computer is scanning it. So it's really important. The format, there's a lot that's really important. Actually, the checklist that you're going to download is going to give you some, just make sure that you've got it in the right format and things like that. But one example is, like, a lot of people will upload PDF files because they email them, because it doesn't change the format. But some of the employers' tracking systems don't read PDFs. So you have to really, when you're doing that, have to be really careful that you follow their guidelines. Most all of the systems read Word documents. So that's good.
Okay, but all right.
The other, you know, and I go into it more in the makeover, but the other thing is, like, a lot of people, when they go into Microsoft Word, they use a template. You shouldn't do that because it messes up when you upload it. The computer can't read it a lot of times. The text boxes. Ooh. Yeah. So, yeah, I know. Okay. There's a lot of, and you should always be contacting people in person anyways. I mean, I agree. So agree with Dan on that. You need to contact people. So, but. Okay. There's just a couple tips. And I'm going to go to the next slide and just show you, before Mike and I do questions, there were two downloads, marcytravis.com/career transition and marcytravis.com/resume check sheet. And this is a resume check sheet that will just give you all the things that format check, information to include, what to remove, and it goes down through. So it's just a little check sheet you can go through to make sure that your resume is top notch.
Awesome. Yeah, we want that. We're therapists and we want everything top notch. High level and, next level, So we want them to find their own dream job and their alternative career. So thank you very much, Marcy, for all those tips. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. Now, did you have some questions?
Yeah, we've got actually two questions here. I really like to apologize. I wish I should have posted this several weeks ago.
That's okay.
But we've got two questions here on our webs on our group. First is from Christine, and she said, "How to find a coach if you don't have a personal reference? What credentials to look for, and how to know if they are effective?"
Okay. So how to find a coach without a personal reference. Mike and I talked about the 48days.com coaching. And I would say, unless you want to pick Mike or I, which you're welcome to do, I would go to the 48days.com/coaching. And I would look through, you can fill out an application. And Ashley is Dan Miller's daughter. She will go through and she will refer you to a coach that she thinks matches what you want to do. And they're really good at this. I've had some great referrals from them and we really did match up. So I trust them implicitly. I would take that route. Unless you like Mike or I, you can coach with us, but I would go to 48days.com/coaching because they've got coaches that specialize in just about everything. And
there you go.
They're top notch. Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just said, there you go.
Oh, okay. I get a little delay sometimes. I think we have a little hamster that runs the internet out here.
Mine too. I'm kind of running slow, It says in my computer here, your internet is unstable. So, in connection with that, with that question from Christine, what credentials to look for and how to know if they are effective? If you're just perfect example, we're all therapists here. If you hurt your shoulder, you want to go to an actual orthopedic physical therapist. You don't want to go to a dementia practitioner like me. If you're a heart, if you have any heart problem, obviously you go to your cardiologist. You know, if you've got kidney problems, you go to your nephrologist. If you got the, you know, brain issue, stroke, you go to a neurologist. Right. The same thing with finding a coach. If you're looking for a somebody to help you with your resume, obviously go to Marcy, you know, and she'll help you out how to find that ideal job by, you know, helping you out with your resume. And in my case, I coach dementia clients. If you've got family members who have dementia, you know, I'll coach you, and that's what I do. And Christine's question here is if you don't have any personal reference. So whatever you're looking for, if you're wanting to be a specific coach about pelvic floor, go find a pelvic floor therapist. So I hope that answers your question, Christine. So.
And I would add to
that. Does that make sense, Marcy?
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes great. It's very good advice. And I would add to that, too, that you really need to be comfortable with your coach. We're all different personalities. So one of the things I do, I'm not sure what Mike does, but one of the things I do is I do a 15-minute session. Just like, let's just chat. What are you trying to accomplish? And people can sign up for that right on my website. But what it does is it helps me know as a coach whether we're clicking, you know, because I'm not going to be a fit for everybody, right? And every coach isn't going to be a fit for you. So it's really good if you have a coach where you can interview them and make a list of stuff you're looking for in a coach. Like, I have people tell me, like, I need prodding. Like, you guys probably aren't like this, but I've had younger people that they're dragging their feet because they're scared. So they're like, I need you to push me. Like, I need an email once a week from you. Like, they tell me that. So make a list of what you need in a coach and then talk with them. Make sure you're comfortable with them because there's nothing worse. You want to be comfortable because you're going to be like talking about your dreams, you know, your secret dreams and stuff. You want to be comfortable with that person. So I would say that that's a biggie for me as a coach and as looking to, you know, for a coach. I want to be comfortable with the person.
Excellent. Well, we all want to be comfortable with everybody that we talk to anyway. Yeah. So that's, thank you for that. Yeah. All right. Next question here, Marcy, is from Stacy. She said here, question is balancing the search for work-life balance now and preparing for retirement later. So,
okay. So her question is about how to do that, like how to balance everything. Is that?
I guess, yeah. How to balance work life and how to prepare for retirement later.
Okay. So, well, I mean, yeah. I think because sometimes you're just like, okay, I've got to work all these hours because I've got a certain salary I got to meet, and how am I, you know, because that's going to help me prepare for retirement. But how do I get that work life balance? And I think that you really have to take it a little bit at a time, for one thing. So you're preparing for retirement over a long period of time. It's not going to just happen, you know, over a couple of years. A little bit at a time. I would say know your goals. So think about what is important to you. Write down your goals. Like, if you feel like you're not, if you can even score yourself. I'm in a different membership group, and they have this self-scoring system. So you write down like different areas of your life, and then you score yourself every week to see from 1 to 10, how did you do? So if one of the things that's important to you is family time, and another one is keeping healthy, like physical exercise, and another one is developing your career. So every week you make a list of those, and then you rate yourself so you can see, because every week you're not going to hit all the points that are important to you. So the whole idea of every week's going to be balanced, it's not going to be. I just don't think it is. At least that's how my life's been, and that's how what I see in my coaching clients. You're going to have weeks that you're putting in a lot of time at work, and then you're going to have other weeks that you're not. I would say, like, if you're trying to kind of have more of a work-life balance and there's something you're missing out on, I'll just say from my own life, like, when I was commuting, I was missing out on working out and reading, like, more, you know, that type of thing. So I had to say, okay, I'm going to find a slot in my schedule and I'm going to put a half hour into it or an hour into it and then slot it into my calendar every day because that was important. So it's kind of like deciding what's important and that, then fitting it into your schedule and putting yourself first.
So true. That's so true. And just to add to that, Marcy, you know, or what's her name again? Christy. Turn off my phone already. Well, the question there is balance. You know, just like riding a bicycle, you will never achieve balancing your bicycle if you don't move forward, if you don't move and try to pedal that pedal there. So the key here is moving forward, you know, pedaling. Even though if you need training wheels at the back of that bicycle, those training wheels are basically like coaches, you know, like Marcy and I. And those training wheels needs to be eventually removed. And you have to learn how to keep on moving forward, you know, doing that pedaling. And that way you can continue to balance yourself towards that goal of retirement. So I guess that's our tip for you, last tip for you today. Just keep moving forward, you know, in order to achieve balance in your work and life. So again, thank you very much, Marcy. Any parting wisdom or words for us therapists who wants to find their alternative career?
I'm putting up the free downloads again, but no, I just thank you so much, Mike, for interviewing me today. And I will, if people have additional questions, I'll be checking on your site and I can answer some stuff online too. I don't mind doing that. So, but I would say I agree with Mike, take action. Whatever you do, decide what's important to you and take action. A little action every day because you're going to feel more confident. You're going to feel more clear. You're going to be clear-headed. You're going to feel like you're moving forward with intention. And that's really important to feel good about yourself and good about what you're doing. So,
awesome. Well, thank you very much, Marcy. Appreciate you. And again, thank you very much, Alternative Careers Group. And we appreciate you and have a great day. Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
You're listening to Misunderstanding Dementia Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Misunderstanding Dementia Course, and you can put in 50 to get a 50% discount on the course. Thank you.